Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, October 31st, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. A little bit of housekeeping on this Halloween 2017. I'm not really a Halloween guy at all. I'm not a fan of a day that celebrates the dead. I agree with Thomas Jefferson. The earth belongs in usufruct to the living. And I think that Ivy League Pirates really enjoy celebrating the Day of the Dead, in particular because they're pirates. It's the conspiracy that we see all around us, the conspiracy. So I'm not inclined to encourage that kind of malfeasance. So the housekeeping that I think is apropos for this Halloween, the day after yesterday's broadcast, which was fantastic, is this. Yesterday's broadcast, in case you didn't catch it, featured my special guest, Richie from Boston, who, as I said yesterday, if you are familiar at all with his work, he needs no introduction. It was a fantastic broadcast. Among other things, we discussed the looming imminent prospects of AI and related technology. And if you really understand, it's frightening. I mentioned the story that I talked about last year that was really the, I believe that God is who he says he is. I believe the Bible, and I believe the story that the book of Revelation tells us is what's unfolding before our very eyes. I think, as I said yesterday, and Richie agreed with me, the best evidence for the Bible is history unfolding before our eyes, a book written thousands of years ago, compiled thousands of years ago, and yet here we see history unfolding in precisely that fashion. So that's shocking, but you kind of get used to that, I think. As disheartening as it is, reading the book of Revelation, you know that things are going to continue to decline. Reading passages like Matthew 24, for example, Jesus talking about as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It can be disheartening, but only to a certain degree. I think you kind of acclimate to that. You get used to it a little bit. But I want to make one sobering addition in conjunction with yesterday's broadcast. The Bible warns us of the coming Antichrist, the devil's counterfeit Messiah. We see reference to this character in passages like Matthew 24:24, 1 John 2:18, etc. But all too often, I think we tend to marginalize the characterizations or mischaracterizations, as it were, and names get thrown around like Hitler, George H.W. Bush, Vladimir Putin, George W. Bush, Obama, Trump, etc. But rarely, if ever, do we fully, I think, understand the operative concepts and characteristics. What do I mean? These kinds of concepts, overwhelmingly deceitful, what you see in Matthew 24:24, as to mislead even the very elect. It's a topic we've discussed on this broadcast a number of times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, overpoweringly charming, charismatic, and coercive. Overpoweringly. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, again, immeasurably wise, clever, and artfully seductive. Genesis 3 and Matthew 4 kind of give you an indication of that. But In addition to that, just to kind of flesh that concept out, in the day prior to yesterday's broadcast, I saw one of the many articles on the AI God subject matter floating around. The AI God. Indeed, in recent years, there have been countless articles, TED Talks, World Economic Forum roundtables, and so forth, featuring the likes of folks like author Dan Brown, Oxford's Nick Bostrom. Elon Musk has been vocal on these kinds of subjects. Stephen Hawking, Stephen Furtick, and particularly in this case or in this context, former Google engineer Anthony Lewandowski. From John Brandon's October 2nd, 2017 VentureBeat article entitled "An AI God Will Emerge by 2040, 2042 and Write Its Own Bible. Will You Worship It?" That's the title of John Brandon's article. "An AI God Will Emerge by 2042 and Write Its Own Bible. Will You Worship It?" I quote, "Recently, reports surfaced that a controversy-plagued engineer who once worked at Uber has started a new religion. Anthony Lewandowski filed paperwork for a nonprofit religious organization called The Way of the Future. Its mission? To develop and promote the realization of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence, and through understanding and worship of the Godhead, contribute to the betterment of society." So here's the sobering addition to yesterday's broadcast. Imagine a character with the capability of machine learning and AI. And again, if you understand that, the most sobering example was the one that I mentioned yesterday. In my opinion, in my experience, the most sobering example for me was reading about, Google's AlphaGo project beating Lee Sedol in Go last year, 3 games out of 4, was more of a wow kind of a thing. I understand the implications of AI. I kind of outlined those yesterday. Imagine software that can comb iteratively through code bases, say that websites are built on, for example, and find vulnerabilities and then exploit them real time. The days of, hey, you need to update your operating system because, no, those days are gone once AI starts combing code bases iteratively looking for vulnerabilities. Because once it finds a vulnerability, it can immediately go out and identify products, platforms, websites built on that code base that it can exploit, if that makes sense. So all of those things I understand, and that's not something that frightens me. But what was frightening to me was reading about Google Translate, the folks at the Google Translate project incorporating one of their AI libraries last year in the Google Translate code base. And within a period of 2 weeks, the updated Google Translate had created its own language to translate human language. And so historically, the translation used to be bilateral. You would translate from English to German, German to English, English to Spanish, Spanish to English, and so forth. Google Translate figured out with the help of its AI codebase augmentation that it would be more efficient for Google Translate to create its own language to translate all to and from. In other words, it created its own language and used that to translate all other languages. And it did that all on its own. Then, of course, you learn a little bit more about the AlphaGo project and the fact that the last game that AlphaGo won against Lee Sedol, the decisions that Google's AlphaGo was making, the engineers that designed it didn't even understand. So this is a sobering realization, I think. So again, in that context, here's the sobering addition. Imagine a character with the capability of machine learning and AI able to learn your life's history. Because remember, this is all going to be online. That's what we're being encouraged to do right now, right? I mean, there's a generation of kids that are growing up with a Truman Show sort of experience where their whole life is online. Pictures from when they were first born all the way up until they get their phone, and phones are going away. By the way, speaking of folks like John Brandon, if you read some of his articles, I mean, reading an article the other day, he's written some stuff recently. Over at Inc., he wrote an article recently titled "Why Smartphones Will Become Extinct by 2025, which is interesting. But getting back to the subject at hand here, imagine a character with the capability of machine learning and AI able to learn your life's history and predict your future thoughts and actions to a frightening degree of accuracy, and all in an instant. That last bit, you will recall, perhaps, that I've mentioned from time to time Howard Rheingold's book, Smart Mobs, published in the late 90s. It's a collection of stories that kind of hint at what smart mobs will portend for society. And so one of the stories is of an MIT grad student working on a project of behavior predictability. And this MIT grad student gave his peers, if memory serves, he gave his peers, about 100 of his peers, cell phones. And this was obviously a while ago, back in the 90s. And he gave them cell phones on the condition that what they did, their activities with those phones, would be tracked. Their, you know, the geolocation of the phone, the texting, the phone calls, etc. And within a period of weeks, he was able to predict their whereabouts, where they would be and what they would be doing a month in advance with greater accuracy than they could themselves. And these were not dummies. These are MIT kids. So, you know, they're the best and brightest around. So that's the kind of – and then Google, I think Gmail, Google bought technology, that concept, his research, and incorporated it into Gmail, which is why Gmail and Google in general is so good at predicting your thoughts, so to speak. But so again, imagine a character with the capability of machine learning and AI able to learn your life's history and predict your future thoughts and actions to a frightening degree of accuracy, all in an instant. Imagine a character so charismatic it knows every language more fluently than the greatest scholar, and every successful tip, trick, and technique to manipulate and beguile virtually anyone on earth. Imagine a character more well-versed in all of history than all the War College professors combined. Imagine the perfect combination of hard power and soft power, the ideal smart power. Imagine a character so studied in the art of military strategy it has become unbeatable. And like Google's AlphaGo, it continues to learn each millisecond how to become even more unbeatable. Now imagine trying to defeat this foe. Imagine trying to convince others to resist a foe with such staggering capabilities of deception. Imagine a character essentially created by, yet completely independent of, mankind. And yet, with the capability to destroy mankind at its whim. Now you're getting the picture. And let me say, this is pure speculation on my part, but when you hear about this creature, who will very likely be entirely robotic, in other words, demonically animated and not human, however much the serialization may be to the contrary, realize you're hearing about the Antichrist. This... I think if you really understand what artificial intelligence portends, I think it will. It's a couple of things. It's transhumanism, posthumanism, the destruction of mankind, ultimately kind of the overrun of earth, the destruction of man. Back to Genesis 6, demons running the earth. We have helped. Mankind has been the gateway to that. Again, I mentioned Alice Bailey's, well, the book that she channeled from her spirit guide, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, if you can stomach it, and I don't recommend it, but you can see in her book that that's the kind of concept that she's talking about. And or one of the concepts, being able to bring these ascended masters back to earth because they've been banished for a time. And so the Bible tells us that these days are at hand. Back to Genesis 6 and 11 we go. So we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, not harmless, because harmless means that you can do no harm, but gentle means that you are you have a bridled, restrained power. You can do harm, but you choose not to because of your restraint. So that's just, hopefully that's insightful in the context of yesterday's broadcast. There's a little bit more that I could add to that, but I suppose the only thing I'll add at the moment is a final thought. The character that I just described, that's precisely the sort of character that not only fits the biblical mold, but the mold of Albert Pike's ostensibly apocryphal letter to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 1871, that letter that gave us this outline of three world wars that we see the Third World War kind of shaping up to fit. Political Zionism versus political Islam, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists, provoking a formidable social cataclysm. And then you have this, the allusion to, I would say, a character that can bring the world together. And I mean, think about it. A character created with the capability of AI that can learn everything, can know, you know, I mean, imagine sort of the personification of RAND Corporation's game theory, if you will. That's kind of what it is, a creature that's able to work out any probable scenario instantaneously. What is the dilemma? What is the argument? What is the problem? What is the impedance to its will? And it's able to work that out instantaneously in RAND Corporation game theory fashion. And we've seen how the RAND Corporation manipulates and beguiles not just the American people, but the world at large. So that's the kind of character that we will see emerge on the world stage, probably built by this kind of technology. That would be my expectation, because when you look at the passages that I mentioned and others, it seems to fit, and it's a frightening prospect, to be sure. But that's, I mean, isn't that exactly what Jesus warned about in places like Matthew 24, when he basically said it's going to be worse when this moment emerges on world history and this character arrives on the scene? It's going to be worse than anything the world has ever seen. That's pretty bad. Stick around. I'll be right back with my special guest, Jacob Beach, right after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. Joining me today is my special guest, Jacob Beach. And Jacob does fantastic videos over on YouTube. I like the practical, down-to-earth nature of his videos. If you want a kind of a simple example of that, watch his Merrill Canteen long-term review, the shoe review, and you'll kind of see what I mean, I think. But really, any of his videos, if you watch any of his videos, you'll see what I mean. So first of all, welcome to the broadcast, Jacob. Thanks for coming on.
I'm really blessed to be here, and I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too, and I think it's going to be a fun broadcast. So before we get started, can we tell folks how to get in touch with you?
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
Can they find you?
You know, obviously my YouTube channel is The Prepper's Bunker Outdoors. So if you wanted to contact me, you could do it through YouTube, or my email is thepreppersbunkeroutdoors@gmail.com. I don't know how long I'll be around on YouTube before I get the boot, so I'm looking at alternative means of sharing right now. But okay. And I also run a website, Beach and Tactical. It's kind of my day job. And I can get messages through there as well. It's just beachandtactical.com.
Okay. Can you spell that just in case?
Sure. Yeah. you know, as you might guess from my introduction, my middle name is Beach, so it's just BEACHIN tactical.com.
Right on. So there you go, folks. And the channel, the Prepper's Bunker Outdoors, is one word, essentially. It's those four words all together, no spaces. And fantastic stuff.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you usually do a Tactical Tuesday. I kind of alluded to that, I think, for the listening audience. And those are fun to listen to as well. You'll have to kind of, I don't know, maybe we can play a clip or something at some point. But again, Jacob's perspective is very, I mean, you mentioned experience a lot, and I think we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, from your perspective of experience, you speak to certain subject matter. And maybe if I could rephrase that, what I mean is you're not like so many people who talk about things they don't know anything about. You're a lot of the time, the things that you, I would say more often than not, you're speaking from a perspective of experience. And that I think is vital and essential to the way that you talk about the subject matter that you talk about. The shoe review is one of those. I mean, you mentioned that subject of experience comes up a lot in your videos, and it's important. And I don't think that can be overstated. I think you try to emphasize the fact that people miss that a lot these days. And because of that, they're easily led astray, whether it's a shoe review or the situation in Las Vegas or what have you. Does that sound accurate?
Absolutely. I think that entire segments of our, you know, capitalist market have been run by marketing for so long based on products that people don't actually use, that the market quality as a whole in many segments has deteriorated, because there's nobody's holding a market accountable for quality, because nobody knows what quality is or knows what to expect anymore. So I have a lot of experience both through the military and with combat stuff and with camping, survival stuff, and I feel obligated to share my experiences with people, because why else would I go out and continue to do it if not to help other people and to share my experiences with different items and techniques and so on?
Yeah, as your YouTube channel description points out, as a combat vet from the 173rd Airborne, I learned a lot about what gear worked and what was a gimmick. And I really think that is a message that kind of comes through in all of your videos. Again, very practical, very down to earth, and a bit of humor from time to time. dry like my own, which I appreciate, obviously. But so maybe we should start with kind of what it means to be a prepper. I think that a lot of people have different ideas about what that means, and there are a lot of misconceptions as well. I think you kind of jokingly allude to some of those misconceptions in some of your videos, but absolutely. Do you want to explain that?
The term prepper, almost like any term, whether it be tactical or bushcraft or anything else, has become so marketed and overinflated, and then obviously TV has done some damage as well, that anybody who there's such a broad range of people consider themselves to be preppers, and that's acceptable. For me, to be a prepper means that you believe that there is something in life that needs to be prepared for, and you actively do it. So what might have been normal everyday life for your grandparents of canning and putting food away for winter, today would be considered, I believe, being a prepper, and many people would consider it to be outlandish or foolish or a lot of other things, because it's not necessarily required for our normalized day-to-day lives anymore. So now it's weird. But really, you get this huge range of quote-unquote preppers, because anybody who's preparing for whatever they believe is important is going to do it in the manner that they think that they see fit for what it is that they're preparing for. So mm-hmm. It's become this crazy thing where, you know, you've got people on TV who are prepping, quote unquote, by growing a bunch of weed. And then you've got the more stereotypical view of what a prepper is, like Bert Gummer from Tremors, of the crazy guy who lives in a bunker and has more guns than he knows what to do with. And that's the guy that the media wants you to think about, and that's the guy that the media is attacking.
Exactly. I think that's perfectly well stated. I mean, you know, exactly. Being a prepper these days is what our grandparents used to call living. People don't grow their own food. They don't raise chickens or anything like that. These used to be normal concepts. I don't think folks realize, we've talked about it on this broadcast, and some people know, that where Dodger Stadium is these days, for example, used to be an open-air farmer's market. It used to be, farmers coming together, selling produce and things. And if folks pay attention, you can go back in just about any city, or especially the outskirts of the urban areas, before there was this giant urban sprawl, there are a lot of places that have they had hundreds of acres of farmland on the outskirts of these urban areas. And folks that listen to this broadcast know, and this network, that over a period of time, incrementally, by degrees, starting with beginning with FDR's Agricultural Adjustment Act, the AAA, and then coming forward through the administrative era, fourth branch stuff, all of a sudden we were encouraged, you know, farmers were encouraged not to grow food. They were paid not to grow food. And now we've gotten to a point where the paradoxical irony of folks being unprepared, as you're pointing out, this used to just be called life. And so now every once in a while you hear people getting nervous about what happens if the grocery store doesn't have food. There's no guarantee. I mean, not in a sensationalist sort of way. There's no guarantee the grocery store is going to have food tomorrow. But people have come to rely on these things in a way that I would argue is unnatural. And so I appreciate your perspective. And what you're talking about sounds normal, actually, but that same marketing engine that's selling people crappy products that no one's holding accountable for quality control is telling people subtly and sort of indirectly that growing food is weird, and behaving normally is weird, being prepared is weird, but it's not. So that's again why I appreciate your perspective. So in the break, we were you were talking about the shotgun. You know, folks see online, for example, the shotgun they hear is the ultimate home defense tool, and you disagree.
One of the biggest things is I try to never say that X is best for Y or is the only option. So let's say you live in Mosul, Iraq. Your best option might be an AK-47. And say you live in a small apartment somewhere, your best option might be the pistol you carry every day. So my issue is what I see very, very often is this, social stigma that the shotgun is the best home defense tool. And there's a couple things that I want to talk about that might negate that, ending with the most important. But first off, most people in America, as we know, there are a lot of gun owners in America, but there are not a lot of shooters. And what I mean by that is there is a survey taken, I don't remember if it was the New York Times, it was some commie rag, but that said that the average American shoots 6 rounds per year, obviously taken into account all of the people that shoot 0 rounds per year, as well as all of the people that shoot 20,000 rounds per year. But the average person to person is 6 rounds per year, and the problem is you can neither know your firearm in that amount of usage, because any firearm should be quote-unquote reliable within a broad range of tolerances in that light of use. But you also cannot grow as a shooter with that many rounds down the pipe that seldom. So for the person, though, that does actively seek out training and try to learn to be a better shooter, hopefully that pistol that they carry every day, they shoot more often. And if you have to choose between a firearm that you never shoot and a firearm that you carry, are very familiar with, and shoot often, 9 times out of 10, the firearm that you are more comfortable with and have more experience with would be the correct option to use in a home defense scenario, as long as it's within the basic parameters of what could potentially be a lethal firearm.
Absolutely. This calls to mind a couple of things. I always, when we start talking about arms, I always think of Jefferson. You know, what you're talking about, if folks are not familiar, if they're not practiced, then it's of no practical use. And I always think of Jefferson's words back in 1785 when he wrote to his 15-year-old nephew, Peter Carr, regarding what he considered the best form of exercise. And he wrote, "I advise the gun. While this gives a moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind." And in today's world, these following words are particularly apropos. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. It's interesting. We're realizing these days that, you know, concussions in young kids playing football is probably not a good thing. But he continued, "Let your gun, therefore, be the constant companion of your walks." And so how many people do that? I think of that, but also, you know, when you're talking about the one that you are most efficient with, in my words, through constant practice, it calls to mind your what you said about Las Vegas and the fact that 23 firearms is absolutely absurd. You know, no one with any practical knowledge would do that. I don't want to get off track, but it reminds me of that.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing with that is, even if a person has absolutely no firearms experience, for instance, when I first met my wife, I don't know that she had ever shot in a gun, or maybe just a 22 or a BB gun or something. If I told her, and she, you know, in whatever kind of weird reality we live in, if I told her that you're going to go up into this building and shoot all of these people, you know, bring what you want, she's not going to bring 27 guns up or 17 guns up, because there's, even with zero training, there is no, absolutely no logical reason to. But when you take a person who you want people to think has no political background and no ties, and you make him represent a certain segment of the population and give them a whole bunch of guns, which people are terrified of, you're literally painting a picture, and that's what's going on in this situation.
Right. Same marketing engine, I would argue.
Absolutely.
Because, absolutely. I mean, it does serve that purpose. And so, yeah, I suppose real quick on that note, I think it's interesting. You know, we hear this story, and the way that I have framed that discussion kind of goes like, if you folks are familiar with the military industrial complex, as Eisenhower put it, or the national military establishment before it was known as the Department of Defense, et cetera, you have what has grown up these days in particularly the what we call the security apparatus, the intel agencies and their proxies and surrogates. You know, I think of folks like Kofor Black and Enrique Rick Prado leaving the CIA back in 2004 and creating this network of proxies and surrogates that they then advertise to the DEA and other federal agencies as a means to conduct certain off-the-books operations, including false flag. And so, you know, you have those things. But basically, the way that I frame what you're talking about is in the context of Suspect A and Suspect B. Suspect A, we've heard about in the news constantly, a man with nothing to gain who rigs his suite with three cameras, we're told, so that he knows exactly when to shoot himself in the head. Even though now that the timeline has changed, we know even from LVMPD officers who were interviewed on 60 Minutes, they said themselves there was enough ammo in the room for him to hold us off for hours. So then why did he decide not to when he intricately wired his room for surveillance so that he knew when to shoot himself in the head? He, you know, essentially Vince Fostered himself, I would say. But you have Suspect B that accuses A of the crime, incidentally, and historically Suspect B has a history of lying, deceiving, and creating scenarios very similar to the crime it accused A of to justify its existence and secretive plans, and stands to gain tremendously and profit handsomely from the inevitable uptick in the security and surveillance apparatus. And it's notorious for staging these kinds of events. Which suspect would you investigate? I know which one I would probably look at, but I digress.
Right. Well, and what was interesting to me on the Las Vegas shooting was actually recently doing a lot of research into World War II, which obviously naturally progresses to researching about the Nazi regime because they were technologically and politically so different than anybody else in the world at the time. And so when you look at their propaganda minister and how they operated, even before, you know, before Hitler comes into power, before World War II, you see this giant series of staged fights between communists and Nazis, right?
Yep.
And you destabilize the country, and you hear accounts from Germans who were there who were too afraid to say or do anything because they're afraid to be killed by the communists and they're afraid to be killed by the Nazis, and they didn't want any part with anything because everybody's trying to kill somebody. It ties so many of the things tied directly into today, and with just the smallest amount of perspective, you click on the news and it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
I actually forget 100% where I was going with that, but with the Las Vegas shooting, we were just talking about that, him shooting himself in the head, and yet we have the picture, which I showed in my video, where he's got a lot of the shell casings from his quote-unquote assault rifle on top of the blood from where he shot himself in the head.
Right.
Not only that, you have no visible entry wound, as if the entry wound was from inside his mouth, but then you have no skull fragments, no brain matter, no splatter whatsoever. So it's very poorly done. But the thing is, with no practical firsthand experience, 999 out of 1,000 people have their body of experience is based on Hollywood, and they see that, and the government says it's so, and the news say it's so, and that's good enough. And so that's what's right. Being fed to us.
Right. Never mind the facts and reality. And that's part of what that marketing engine does. The Hollywood propaganda mill, as I would call it, is notorious and very skilled and artful at that kind of deception. The Bernaysian marketing model from Edward Bernays. But, you know, so we have this suspension of disbelief that people get in the habit of watching movies. You know, you watch a movie with a car flying over your head. That never happens, or a car turning into a robot, turning back into a car. Never happens, but I'm going to suspend your brain says, okay, you know what? Conscience, frontal lobe is going to check out for a minute while you enjoy the movie so that you can enjoy the movie. Let me know when it's over. And that becomes a pattern of lazy thinking, which is sort of an oxymoron, but that's kind of what happens. And then you have scenarios like this, the Las Vegas incident. We're told Stephen Paddock, Stephen Paddock, Stephen Paddock, never mind the fact that, you know, FBI special agent in charge Aaron Rouse has told us we've already poured over hundreds of hours of video surveillance. That was weeks ago already. But we haven't been shown a single image of Stephen Paddock even in Las Vegas at all, let alone in the hotel, let alone in the room. And FBI assistant director, former assistant director Chris Swecker was on Fox News, I think on the 3rd of October, saying, I think we're going to get an unbelievably intricate picture very soon with all of the videos, footage, the surveillance and everything, you know, what you see in Vegas, what he apparently had his room rigged for, but we haven't. And so, you know, that same marketing engine that you're talking about speaks to the, you know, like you said, World War II, the Nazi propaganda machine, and the fact that people are essentially being deceived, but for what purpose? And so hopefully critical thinking kicks in at some point.
Right.
And go ahead.
What I wanted to say real quick, what opened my eyes a little bit, if listeners wanted, even if you have no practical experience, if you wanted to look into something and engage that your brain, I got experience with PSYOPs in the military. And if you want to look that up, that is a branch of the special forces or a job within the special forces where the soldier's main duty is to use propaganda to turn the opinion of local nationals using written letters, using using radio, whatever the case may be, talking to people. That is their job, is to change people's opinions using propaganda. And what I was saying about with Nazi Germany and propaganda is if you were to look up post-World War II, a lot of Nazis who were great war criminals disappeared and somehow ended up in the U.S. Not one of them, a Nazi but not a war criminal, Wernher von Braun, actually created our entire NASA program, the guy who invented the V-2 rocket. Everything yep. in NASA is based off of him. All of our submarines right now are based off of the latest German submarine from World War II, which was hundreds of years advanced beyond what we have. So post-World War II, you see a lot of Nazi war criminals disappear, and then you see a lot of Nazi technology in the U.S. Now, that's simple, logical, profitable thinking for the U.S., but then when you look at their propaganda machine, that's Goebbels, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to forgive my brain, but head of propaganda, I'm almost mm-hmm. certain it's Goebbels.
Yep.
You see. I'd like to say you see a lot of the same propaganda that you saw in World War II through Germany afterwards, but I guess to be honest, you see a lot of it before too. So
yeah, well,
it's just connecting the dots, and you don't have to know the answer. You have to know what the answer is not, in my opinion.
Yeah, the propaganda machine, Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, wired Uncle Sigmund's work together with Madison Avenue Marketing. And as the story goes, unofficially, Edward Bernays was idolized by Joseph Goebbels. And what you're talking about, importing the Nazi scientists, the Russians wanted to prosecute them. And America said, we want your technology, and gave them diplomatic immunity through Operation Paperclip. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break with my special guest, Jacob Beach.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour already of Road Warrior, of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, October 31st, Halloween 2017. And Operation Paperclip is the most notable example of this. Even Wikipedia says Paperclip was a secret program of the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, in which more than 1,600 German scientists, engineers, and technicians, such as Werner von Braun and his V2 rocket team, were recruited in post-Nazi Germany and taken to the U.S. for government employment at the end of World War II. Many were members and some were leaders of the Nazi Party, and this is a fact of history that often gets kind of lost in the discussion. But it's a fact of history.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And so you got to wonder sometimes where also we have all of that coming to the U.S. It'd be crazy to think that some of those were not people that powered such an incredible media.
Yeah, and you know what people don't realize, what kind of gets lost in that discussion is the way I would frame it in simple terms, the religion came along with the science and the technology, and that's something that gets kind of lost in the discussion as well. Researching Nazi scientists in JPL, NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in particular, gives the darker side of the history of JPL, gives you a kind of an intimate look at that. Some authors, couple that I think are good to sort of jump off on this subject are Edwin Black and the late, great Anthony Sutton. I think Anthony Sutton really kind of exposed how the World War II war machines everywhere, whatever side of the fight you were ostensibly on, were all funded by the same characters. Anthony Sutton did great work in pointing that out and proving it. And Edwin Black has done some great work in recent years of kind of uncovering the hidden history in America that we are inclined to turn away from, because it's, you know, what do you do with this information when you realize, so we hear Nazi Germany was bad, but we imported their technology. And as I said, the religion came along with it. An interesting maybe primer on this is the Wired article, "Occultist Father of Rocketry Written Out of NASA History." Parsons came to believe in magic, a force that he felt could be explained through quantum physics. And this is something that hasn't gone away, but we don't hear about that. And so that's an interesting article. That's the end of the first hour. Folks, stick around. Second hour coming up right after this short break with my special guest, Jacob Beach. We'll be right back.
Talk about something serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.